This morning, I would like to talk with you, not in theological terms, not with flowery words. I would like to talk to you heart to heart. My desire, if I could have moved this down there, would have been to be down with you. Heart to heart. I hope you hear my heart this morning for you. 2 weeks ago, we focused our attention on four words of wisdom given by Jesus during the Sermon on the Mount. On that occasion, we talked about the importance of putting God first, of not worrying, of seeking God first. Seeking first the kingdom of God and allowing all these things to be added unto us. Last week we talked about three. First four words of wisdom, then three words of encouragement. From 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." To pray continually. To be thankful in all things. For this is God's will for you. This morning I want to share with you two words of comfort. Two words of comfort. Lord, I do pray that you would add your blessing. Open our ears that we might hear from you. Thank you, Lord, for your grace in our lives. I remember the day well. Cindy had gone to work. She worked at Walmart in those days. She had been a diabetic and she did have compromised kidney function. But she called me in the middle of her shift and asked me to come and take her home. In fact, she didn't say, take me home. She said, take me directly to the hospital. A sense of dread came over my heart. It descended over me as I drove and picked her up. We went to the hospital. It was February of 1994. We had been married just a matter of about 6 years. The doctors informed us that she had pneumonia and that she needed to go to the hospital, be admitted. The hospital we were at was not sufficient to care for her, so they sent us to the big hospital, and they admitted her. The next morning, she was admitted to critical ICU. The pneumonia had gone septic. It had gotten into her kidneys and killed her kidneys. It had gotten into her spinal column, spinal cord, and she was paralyzed from the waist down. She gained approximately 40 pounds in 12 hours, could not bend her fingers with all the fluid. They had to place her on life support. Because so much fluid, she could no longer breathe. The dread I had felt the evening before was justified. It seemed as though the world was crashing down. And I remember that day, loneliness descended upon my heart. The ominous tones of the doctor. As the doctor said, she's not going to live. In all likelihood, she will die. It was a very difficult time. And I remember the awesome, thunderous peace as the presence of God unfolded in my heart, he led me to Psalm 46. Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. Cindy was in ICU for 14 days, 2 weeks. 2 weeks she battled for her life. But in the midst of that, the peace of God descended on us. It descended on me as I realized that God is God. And God can do all things. The words in Psalm 46 are very simple. The truth is spectacular. Be still and know that I am God. There is no situation that you can face in which God will not be God. He is not bound up by circumstance. He is not limited by situation. At the feet of Jesus is peace and harmony and unity. At the feet of Jesus is the realization of the majesty and the power and the wisdom and the authority of God. God is God. Be still. If you're in the midst of difficulty this morning, calm your spirit and know this. God is God. And there is nothing that God cannot do. In the Gospels, when faced with a tremendous storm, so severe that experienced seamen feared destruction. As Jesus slept in the boat, they feared destruction, and their fears were justified, for it was such a storm. After exhausting all of their resource, running to and fro, attempting to find rescue, the disciples came to the master of the storm. They came to Jesus. God is God. They applied Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. After you have exhausted all of your resource, settle yourself in front of or at the feet of Jesus and confess that he is God. And we know how he, as the master of the storm, simply stood up and said, peace be still. He says the same thing to your heart this morning. Peace be still. Be still and know that he is God. And you know how instantly the waves settled and the winds stopped. And the disciples marveled, what kind of man is this? He's no man. He's God. Be still and know that he is God. It is the same truth set forth in the story of Mary and Martha. Martha running to and fro, trying to entertain him, trying to get all of the things done that should be done. Mary content to sit at his feet and learn at him from him. And Jesus told Martha, Mary has chosen well. Because Mary had chosen to be still and to sit at his feet, to know that he's God. In February of 1994, as Cindy lay on her deathbed, as the family rushed to her side, as my heart ran to and fro trying to find reason and rescue, but being helpless, nothing I could do. I had to say, Lord, She's in your hands. I will bring her to you. You gave her to me. I'll bring her to you. I will place her in your hands and allow you to be God. I discovered the truth of Psalm 46. Be still and know that I am God. Now, in God's providence, Cindy regained her health to a degree. As the weeks went by, she got better and better. She had some therapies. Her kidneys began to work. Her feelings came back, and she was able to walk. And life returned to a sense of normalcy. But that brings us to the second word of comfort I have for you today. The first being knowing that God is God. The second came 7 months later. We had a doctor's appointment, and as we went to the doctor's appointment, the doctor informed us that her kidney function had stopped again, and she was going to have to start dialysis. Oh, that's such a burden. Such a distress. I remember as we left the doctor's office, boy, I'm glad we have insurance through my job at the church that we were serving at that point. We have to keep that insurance. Thank you for the job, Lord. Thank you for the insurance. There was a certain amount of... because I had given notice at the house we were renting, and I had signed up with a year's lease at another apartment just because we wanted to lessen our bills. We need this insurance. We need this job. I came home. The pastor called me into his office. He said, I have bad news. I said, what? He said, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to lay you off. The same day. On the same day, we found out she was going to be on dialysis. I found out that I'd lost my job, and with the job went the insurance, and I was stuck in a lease that I had just signed. The world crashed on me. Once again, I'm saying, Lord, where are you? I know you're God, but where are you? I was torn to shreds. In the midst of the trial, in the midst of the anguish, God, where are you? Once again, God supplied from His Word. From 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, cast all your cares or all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you. Cast all your cares on Him, for He cares for you. Not only is God God, but God cares for you. Not just for the whole world, but for you. You individually, God cares for. Christ died for you. The woman with the issue of blood who said to herself, if I can just touch the hem of His garment. And as she touched Him, she was healed. For as she touched Him, she was casting her cares on Him. She had spent all of her resource to no avail. But then she finally cast her cares on Him and she was healed. Know this, that God is God, and God can do all things. And that is of great comfort to us. Sometimes I look at this world, and this world seems to be out of control. This world is not out of control. This world is out of my control. But the great news is, this world is not out of His control. God is God, and God is in complete control. And God cares for you. I consider the widow of Zarephath, who in the midst of the famine, her and her boy, she had enough for one more biscuit. And her son were going to eat the biscuit and then starve to death. The reality is God, not only is God, but God cared for her and her son and sent the prophet Elijah to her. And as she was obedient to the prophet, as she shared that biscuit with her and her son and the prophet, God provided through the rest of the famine. And they ate what was needed. They had just enough for what was needed till the end of the famine. Why would God do that? Because God cares for you. God cares for you. As it turned out, God supplied graciously. He supplied gloriously. Within a matter of a couple of weeks, we were invited to take a pastorate in Mira Loma, California, which is a mere 15 miles from Loma Linda. You say, what's the significance of that? A few months earlier, God had moved Eric Wallstrom, a surgeon, a specific surgeon. He had developed and devised how to do kidney pancreas transplants. She was qualified into his program. She eventually received a kidney pancreas transplant. God provided, he orchestrated all the way, moving that surgeon all the way from the Mayo Clinic to Loma Linda and us to Mira Loma so that we were 15 miles from him. You say, well, that's just a coincidence. No, it's not. It's evidence that God is God and that God cares. It's God's sovereignty. It's God's providence. It's God's grace. So he provided the job. He provided insurance. We were stuck in that lease. I went to the manager and I said, we have a problem. I expected to have to pay a big thing. I explained to her the situation. She says, well, I'm not authorized to do anything, but in your case, I will. God bless you. You're free. You see, God cares for you. God supplied in glorious ways. When it seems that there is no hope, then put your trust in Him. For God cares for you. He is the source of all hope. Isaiah 40:29, God gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. God is your hope. When you're in difficulty, when you're in trouble, when times are good, God is your hope. God is God in every circumstance. For those of you this morning who are in trouble, for those of you who are in need of comfort, God would say this to you this morning. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. The Lord Almighty is with you. For those full of care and anxiety, the invitation is still open as it was then. Cast all your cares on Him because He cares for you. He cares for you. For those of you who are not in trouble, you say, well, life's pretty good. this doesn't apply to me. Oh, just wait a while. It won't be long till trouble comes, for Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. But you remember these words when that trouble comes. Plant these words deep in your heart so that when that occasion arises, you can say to yourself, be still and know that God is God. And remember to cast all your cares on Him, for He cares for you. Lord Jesus, we just thank you this morning. We praise you that you are God. Thank you for your deliverance and your